back in the old days, a lot of the movies you see when they when the king died or somebody died, they would light them, or the Native Americans sometimes they would put them up on a stand and put a bunch of wood and stuff, and they would light it. That's called a funeral pyre. It comes from the same word, same Greek word. We get the word, our word purification, it all from intense heat, comes from that word. Pyre, we get pyrotechnics, right? Which are like firework displays, right? Pyromaniac. My prayer is that we're going to have fire today. We're going to have fire. My prayer today is that when we leave from this place today, we can all consider ourselves pyromaniacs because we're so consumed with the idea of fire. We want to fire. We want to see things burn. Now, in a good sense, okay? I know that fire also has destructive properties, and I don't want to see anybody get destroyed, but the truth of the matter is sometimes parts of us need to be destroyed so that other parts can flourish. Both of these terms, Old Testament, New Testament, they signify a physical manifestation of burning, of heat, of light, and of flame. And throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, fire functioned as a significant theological symbol. Over 550 times does the Word of God refer to fire as a quality, a characteristic of God and who God is. It's frequently associated with important concepts as God's presence, God's divine judgment, and with purification. In fact, in the Old Testament, fire served as the primary means by which God manifested his presence and exercised his judgment. Because of the sacrificial system, fire was an important aspect of the early Israelite worship. You had to burn. It was the means by which animal sacrifices were offered up to God as a pleasing aroma. How many of you like to drive through someplace and you smell barbecue? Yeah, anybody in the house? Yeah, that's a pleasing aroma to my nostrils. And the idea was that as they would sacrifice these animals, they would burn them, and burnt offerings would rise, and it would please God's nostrils. The first time God appeared to a human in Scripture, he appeared as a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch when he appeared to Abram and making the covenant with him, the fire passed. He appeared to Moses in a burning bush. He spoke from the midst of a fire on top of Mount Sinai when he gave the Ten Commandments. God also led the Israelites through the desert by a pillar of smoke in the day and a pillar of fire at night. All throughout Scripture, fire is used to describe God. God also communicates the protective nature of his presence with fire also. The prophet Elisha was surrounded by an angelic army of what? Flaming horses and chariots when the king of Aram tried to attack him. Zechariah foresaw Jerusalem without the usual protective wall because God told the prophet, "I will be a wall of fire around Jerusalem." You see, cities had walls built around them for protection. And when Elisha saw this vision, Zechariah. He saw this vision. God said, "Jerusalem's not going to need a stone wall. I'm going to be the wall. I'm going to be the wall of fire around Jerusalem for their protection." The New Testament continues God's presence in the form of fire, especially in the person of the Holy Spirit. The outpouring of the Spirit at Pentecost was signaled by the appearance of tongues of fire that sat on each believer's head. In his first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul warns the believers not to quench the Holy Spirit. When you think of quenching something, what do you think of? Putting out, you quench the fire. You use water, whatever, you put out a fire. You quench the fire. And Paul was saying, don't be fire quenchers. Since God so frequently indicated his presence by means of fire, fire became a metaphor for God's emphasizing both his holiness and his justice. Time and time again, If you want to get real creative, just sit down with a concordance and start looking up fire and just read through the scriptures where fire is mentioned. Also, in addition to symbolizing God's presence, fire serves as an instrument of divine judgment. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah came how? By fire and brimstone. That's the first example of God's use of fire to judge and destroy wickedness. The example of Sodom and Gomorrah is later used to indicate the severity of future judgment. The fire of the Lord consumed the outer edges of Israel's camp in the wilderness when they complained. And the same supernatural fire fell from heaven and consumed the soldiers when Azariah was sent to seize and capture Elijah. On many occasions, Jesus described the eternal punishment of the condemned in terms of an unquenchable fire. Fire is used all throughout Scripture. The Gospel and the book of Acts mention that Jesus would baptize us with Spirit and with fire. With fire. Fire is a purification instrument. The text that I wanted to use this morning is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. It says, "For our God is a consuming fire." A fire that consumes. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, it says this. Jeremiah is writing and he says, "But if I say I will not mention him or speak of any more of his name, his word in my heart is like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot hold it in. My prayer for you today is that you have a fire that is shut up in your bones, and you've grown weary of holding it in so much that you say, I just can't contain it anymore. I'm on fire." Fire is used to generate energy. That's why He baptizes us with fire, both to purify us and to empower us. In order to do God's work, you need God's power. That's why He baptizes us with Spirit and with fire, so we can be empowered. We can be protected. We can be empowered. We can be made pure. It's very significant, and it's something that I think all too often we just kind of pass over and don't really address or take lightly. You know, the water, we can see the water, but fire, you know, fire hurts. Fire burns. Absolutely it does. It also purifies. It also purifies. It also strengthens. I preached a sermon a while back about the firefall. Y'all remember the firefall? Up in Yellowstone Park, they would have this event where they would gather up all the season's dry wood, dry trees that had fallen dead, whatever, and they would pile them high up on this cliff. And the people would gather down below in this meadow off to the side. And they would light this fire up, and at dusk, right before dark, they would cry out. They begin to cry. The people would begin to cry out, "Let the fire fall! Let the fire fall! Let the fire fall!" And up above, where they couldn't see, these dozers would begin to push all these embers real slowly off the cliff, and the embers would cascade down this cliff. And I've seen pictures of it, and it looks like a waterfall of fire, and it's just pouring down and pouring down, and they're called the firefall. Well, this guy that had attended that event, he went back some years later to see it again. He said, "This was so impactful in my life. I want to see it again." And he went back and didn't hear anybody talking about it. So he found a park ranger and he said, "Hey, when is the firefall? I attended as a young man and I want to see the firefall again. When is the firefall?" And the park ranger said, "Oh, sir, the fire does not fall here anymore. The people have stopped crying out for the firefall." And I think that is so indicative of so many churches today. The people have stopped crying out for the fire to fall, and so the fire no longer falls. Let that not be Dolan. Our God is a consuming fire. In regards to the use of fire as a symbol in the Holy Scripture, while it is true that it often represents the punitive wrath of God, like Sodom and Gomorrah, it is equally certain that it has not always had this meaning. Quite often, it's a symbol of God's purifying energy and might. Fire was not the symbol of Jehovah's vengeance in the burning bush. It was not the symbol of vengeance. It was His presence. When the Lord is represented as sitting as a refiner and a purifier of silver, the refiner's fire, they would take the gold and the silver and they would put it in there because it's got other things mixed in with it. And I watched this show called several gold shows. Gold Rush, I think, is the name of it. And they take the gold and they sift it out best they can. They pan it out and they put it all in this jar. But it's not pure gold. It's got black stuff in it. It's got all kinds of stuff in it. So they take it and they'll put it in a crucible. And they'll get it extremely, extremely hot. And it becomes molten. And it actually flame on top of it. Then they take it out and cool it and they dump it out. And the fire has called all the impurities to rise to the top. Then they can take that block of gold, they can strike it with a hammer, and all the impurities just fall off. You've got a bar of pure gold. It's the refiner's fire that causes that to happen. Without that intense heat, you never get the pure gold. Sometimes in our lives, in my life and in your life, there has to be an intense heat. There has to be a fire to burn off the impurities, to cause the impurities to become separated from who we really are and who God has truly designed us to be, and that is pure, that is holy, that is refined. That's you and me. The same fire which burns the wood, the hay, and the stubble, purifies gold and silver. It's the same fire. It has different qualities, different properties, depending on the need, the purpose. I ran across another story this week that I need to tell you about. The giant redwood trees up in the northwest, Northern California, up in there. I was reading about it, and they were being studied, and it was discovered that the redwoods were not regenerating. They were not producing new generations of redwoods. They were dropping the seeds, but the seeds were not germinating. Scientists concluded that the advances in firefighting methods and fire prevention were actually the culprits. Okay? It used to be that wildfires would rage through the forest. Now, the giant redwoods were very large, very fire-resistant, and they would not get burned up or damaged by these fires, but it would burn up all the underbrush. And the seeds of the redwood trees, you see, they have this extremely hard outer shell, extremely hard. And that's why they weren't germinating, because that shell was just, and as a protective mode, it was just crusted around the seed, and it wouldn't germinate. It couldn't break through. And no water could get in to germinate it. Seed couldn't get out. It was just there. But the fire, the wildfires used to come through and burn off that outer shell. But because of the advances in firefighting and the reduction in the intensity of the fires, these seeds were not having their outer shell burned off so that they could have the tender heart exposed and become fruitful. Okay? That hard shell, that crusty old shell, was staying intact. And so they began to notice that that's the reason why they needed the fire to be able to grow. We are no different than redwood trees, folks. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit to penetrate our hardened shell and enable our tender hearts to be fruitful. What kind of shell do we have? And we have shell of bitterness. We have shells of rage. We have shells of pride and selfishness. We have shells of prejudice. We have shells of preference. We have all these shells. And I think that God's word to me today is this. There are some shells in your life that I need to burn through so you can become more fruitful, so you can become more productive in life. We use the phrases like, I'm fired up and I've got this burning passion within me, because they indicate intensity. Fire is intense heat. God wants to instill an intensity within us. He wants to be intense. He wants us to be intensely devoted to Him and with a burning passion for the things of God. I'm afraid that too many so-called Christians are content with being a seed on the forest floor, protected, safe, protected by the hardened shell from the world, but not producing anything for future generations. There's a song that I love, and it's a new one of the newer songs on the radio. The group is called Unspoken. It's called Start a Fire. Start a Fire in Me. Some of the words go like this. This world can be cold and bitter. It feels like we're in the dead of winter, waiting on something better. But am I really going to hide forever? Over and over again, I hear your voice in my head. Let your light shine. Let your light shine for all to see. Start a fire in my soul. Fan the flame and make it grow so there's no doubt or denying. Let it burn so brightly that everyone around can see that it's you. That it's you that we need. So start a fire in me. I need a hymnal. Because just in case you're thinking, well, that's those new songs, and that's, you know, I get that, but that's not our old Baptist ways. If you have, find a hymnal, and turn to hymn number 573. I'm going to go old school on you here. Hymn number 573 says, "Set my soul afire." I'm going to read the words to you. "Set my soul afire, Lord, for Thy holy word. Burn it deep within me. Let Thy voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be a witness. Fill me with Thy power." Verse 2, "Set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter. Never let me fail. Fill me with Thy Spirit. Let Thy will prevail." Verse 3, "Set my soul afire, Lord, in my daily life. Far too long I've wandered in this day of strife. Nothing else will matter but to live for Thee. I will be a witness, for Christ lives in me. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of Thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for Thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire." You see, the idea of a passion, the idea of being set on fire, is not a new idea. The guy that wrote this song lived from the early 19-teens to, I think, 1988, I believe. So the words were written sometime during his lifetime. But folks, there's words about being set on fire. There's words about being empowered by the God's Holy Spirit that go way beyond even the Baptist hymnal. And I'm speaking of the Word of God Himself. And in His Word, He tells us, "I want to fire you up. I want you to be lit. I want you to be fired up and lit on fire for my purposes." God doesn't say, "I'm going to fire you up. I'm going to empower you to do whatever you want, however you want to do it, and just whenever you feel like it." He says, "No, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to fire you up. I'm going to set you on fire for my purposes. My first purpose is to purify you, to burn the excess, the dross off, the impurities off. And I'm gonna protect you with my fire. And I'm going to empower you with my fire." That's what Acts is about. The empowerment and how we can witness and see God's empowering fire in the apostles' lives. It's past time for us to get fired up, I believe. The trick is that it's not a fire we can start. The Holy Spirit will light you up and He will set you on fire if you're willing to be used. He will instill a passion in you, and that passion will fuel the fire, but you have to be willing. Who will cry out today, "Start a fire in me"? God is not destroyed by fire. You are not destroyed by fire. Gold is not destroyed by fire. Fire is the purifying. It's made more pure by the fire. The impurities are burned off. What remains is pure. That's true of gold. That's true of you. That's true of me. The Holy Spirit wants to be that fire in you. It's the refiner's fire. He desires to refine and to purify us, just as the refiner purifies gold. But that purification process cannot, will not happen without the fire. Without the fire. Does the gold hurt when it burns, when it gets molten? Well, gold doesn't really have a feeling, right? We have a lot of feelings about gold, but I don't think gold really has many feelings about us. Does sometimes the fire of purification on you and me, does sometimes that hurt? Do your eyebrows get singed by God's holy fire sometimes? Yeah, yeah. Do your feet get tender and feel like you've been walking? I was born and raised out in Fort Stockton, and we would walk everywhere out there in the rocks and the pavement. And the pavement would get so hot that the tar would begin to melt and boil up. Did it stop me from running out on it? No. And my feet would get blistered sometimes, and they would be stained by the black tar. But it didn't stop me. It didn't kill me. It was uncomfortable. But playing was more important. And so I would endure the fire. I would endure the intense heat on my feet to go and play where I wanted to play. We have to be willing to endure some intense heat sometimes and have the impurities melted away. Cannot happen without the fire. If you've been saved, if you have truly given your heart to Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit has come to live in you. And if the Holy Spirit has come to live in you, you cannot stay the same because His fire begins to remove impurities. Now, if you say, yes, I'm a child of God, I received Jesus Christ, and there is no change within you, then I would challenge that by saying, then you don't have the fire that is causing the impurities to be burned off. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit that's the fire, how can you be saved? Cannot stay the same. The Holy Spirit is a fire that purifies. It destroys the impurities. If that's not happening to you, you need to seriously ask yourself whether or not you're truly a child of God. I don't want to scare anybody. I don't want to call anybody to have doubts about their salvation. I don't want that. I want the opposite. I want you to be absolutely, positively sure of your salvation. But in order to be absolutely, positively sure, sometimes we have to ask. I don't earn my salvation by doing good things. I don't earn my salvation by tithing regularly, by attending church regularly. I don't earn my salvation by not cussing. I don't earn my salvation by being faithful to my wife. I don't earn my salvation by doing good things, by giving money to the poor or doing these things. We don't earn our salvation. Salvation is the free gift of God. Free to us, but it cost God something greatly. It cost Him His own Son. To play with fire. I mean, how many of you grew up and your mom and dad told you, don't play with fire? Well, let me tell you something. You don't play with God's fire either. You don't play with God's fire. Playing with God's fire is, woohoo, I'm a Christian. I got wet. I shook the preacher's hand. I filled out the paperwork. I'm a member of the church. I'm a deacon. My dad was a preacher, whatever. And so I've got that stuff secured, but it's not going to really greatly impact my life. It's not going to affect my decision-making process. It's not going to change who I am. You see, that's playing with fire. You're calling something that's not. You're calling that you're a Christian, that you are on fire for God when you're not. And if you've just been deceived by the devil, and he's told you, look, just say these words, and then I'll just trick you long enough, and then it'll be too late, and then, ha-ha, God gets hurt. God is a consuming fire. He's a protecting fire, and He's a purifying fire. If you're a Christian and you're not on fire, I got to ask you, why not? Because there's a fire in there somewhere. If you're a true Christian, there's a fire in there. It's time to unleash it and turn it loose. It's not because God doesn't want to do anything with or through or to you. The problem just may be you. But it doesn't have to stay that way. It doesn't have to stay that way. We're singing, we've talked about these songs and how there's a contemporary song out there that talks about the fire. There's an old Baptist hymn that talks about the fire. How about a children's song that talks about fire? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Then you can hide it under a bushel and all that stuff. But here's the deal. I have a great problem with that song. It's not a little light. They need to rewrite it. This great big blazing forest fire in me. It doesn't really rhyme that good, but that's more accurate about the life that God wants us to live. This little light of mine, if you've got a little light, then you're wrong. You're wrong. Some people are happy and content. We've got these candles, and I've got some candles in my office, and they're real pretty. And my mother used to make these candles, or had these candles, rather, and one of them's like a Christmas tree, and we would put it out year after year after year after year. You know, wouldn't burn it, you know, because it's decoration. And sometimes we have these candles, these big old candles, and then we have this decorative vase or glass thing that it sits in. I've got one in my office. And sometimes people will go out way out on a limb and they'll light that candle and they'll put it up on their mantle and it'll be this pretty decorative piece and it has this little flame that's burning like this. Some people are content for their life to be this pretty decorative candle that's got a flame and it's burning. I don't want to be a decorative candle. I want to be a wildfire. I want to be a consuming wildfire. I want to be untamed. I want to be able to burn wherever God wants to burn and to use me to burn that. I don't want to be a decoration. I don't want to be a thing that sits on the shelf. The fire of the Holy Spirit is not one to be contained. It is a wildfire burning wherever, whenever, and whatever it wants. What kind of fire are you? What kind of fire do you have? And better yet, what kind of fire do you want? There may be someone here today that doesn't understand fire. There may be someone here today that doesn't understand this whole idea of salvation. Let me explain it to you real quickly and real simply, because it's not this great mystery. It's not this great thing that we just can't comprehend. And it's not something that we can say, well, I'll just do the best I can and hope one day I've done enough good that God'll let me into heaven. You don't have to have a mystery about it. Here's the deal. God said, be holy as I am holy. The truth of the matter is, we are not. And we fall and we fail, and that's called sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, meaning eternal separation. You know, talk about God's fire. God has created a lake of fire where people that do not receive Christ will live for eternity. And that's the punishment. That's the wages of sin. But God said this. God, my God is so good. He said, but the gift of God is eternal life. You can't make it to me on your own. I'm going to have to reach down and get you. Problem is, I've already said there has to be punishment. There has to be a death. I'll tell you what, God said, let me pay that price for you. Let me send my Son to live that life that you can't live. To live a sinless and perfect life. And allow Him to be crucified. Allow Him to be sacrificed as the pure offering for your sin. A substitute sacrifice, God said. And He did that. Jesus came. 33 years on the earth, He lived a sinless life. Did great and mighty works and miracles because He's also God. Okay? But then they crucified Him. They killed Him. Not because He did anything wrong, but because He claimed to be God. They thought it was blasphemy. So they crucified Him and they killed Him. 3 days later, 3 days later, He said, I've had enough of this. I'm not staying in the grave any longer. It's time for me to let my light shine. And He opened up the stone, rolled it away, and He come out. And I could just, I just have this vision of him stepping out, just this bright light. You see, fire produces light. And he stepped out. And then he, a few weeks later, he arose to heaven. But you see, that's God's plan of salvation for you. God says, you can't make it on your own. You can try all you want, but you're going to be greatly disappointed in the end. I have made a way for you. And what it involves is this: trusting my goodness and my grace for you, trusting that Jesus Christ is your perfect sacrifice. Receive that gift. I will give you eternal salvation. But you see, that's where most people stop. Woohoo! I got the greatest gift in the world. And one day I'm going to cash it in. That gift has been given to you to open up immediately and begin living the eternal life even now. And what does that mean? What's that look like? Well, that certainly doesn't mean involving the same things that we were involved in before we met Christ. Not to earn salvation, but because of salvation, my life is now different because there's a fire within me, one that I can't control, one that I can't contain, and it's burning off my impurities. And I like that because I want to be pure. You see, that's somebody that's on fire for God. What kind of fire do you have? And what kind of fire do you want? Are you content with being a candle on a mantle? Or do you want to be one of these California wildfires that's going and consuming and uncontrollable? That's what I want. That's what I want. Why do I want that? Because I believe that's what God wants. That's why He sent His Spirit. That's why we are baptized as Spirit and in fire. Where are you? Maybe you're a Christian and you just never really wanted to burn on fire. Maybe you're not even a Christian. Maybe you never even publicly confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. If that's the case, I would love to talk to you about that. Discuss things. Show you other passages in Scripture. Pray with you. I would love to help you cross that line. Maybe you're here today and you've kind of been guilty of quenching the fire. Maybe you've been tempted to say, man, I really like that. I want to get fired up. I like that. But wait a minute. What will that person think of me? I think I'll just tone it down a little bit. I think I'll just back off a little bit. You see, that's quenching the fire. That's us taking control of the fire. The Holy Spirit is a fire that you can't control. It's not designed for you to be in control of. God is in control of the fire. But God, the Creator God that controls the winds, the waves, even the fire, wants to control the fire in your life. Where are you in that line? Are you allowing God to control your fire, burning whatever it will and whatever it may? See, a lot of times we're like the seed. And we say, I like the fire, but I just don't want to get hot enough to burn me. I don't want to get hot enough. I know that I need the fire to crack through my shell. But if that happens, then I'll be exposed. My tenderness will be exposed to the elements. And then I'll start to grow. And then, you know what? If I'm growing too slow, I'm not growing fast enough, then something else might come and eat me. A beaver might come chew me down. Whatever. Okay? We have all these fears. But God says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, my God has got all the answers to all and all the solutions to all the problems. It's time we trust in Him. And it's time we turn loose the fire. Father in heaven, we want the fire to fall. Lord, may we never be guilty in this church of failing to call out for the fire to fall. The fire of protection. The fire of purification. The fire that destroys the impurities within us. The fire that empowers and energizes us. Father, we need your fire. If we're going to do anything in this world that is according to your will, we have to have your power. And your power comes in the form of a fire. Lord, thank you for your word. And Father, how we can go back thousands and thousands of years and you're still talking about this same fire. And how you want to unleash that in our lives today. Father, may we be consumed by you. The word says you are a consuming fire. May we be willing to be consumed. trusting in you that you're not going to destroy us, but that you're going to purify us. You're going to build us up. You're going to empower us. You're going to encourage us. Why? Oh, to accomplish your greater purpose. Father, burn within us. Burn within us. Set a fire in our bones that we can't contain, that we can't shut up any longer. We have to let it out. I love that verse from Jeremiah. It's like a fire in my bones that I'm grown weary of trying to keep it in. Matter of fact, I can no longer keep it in. Father, may that be our story.
Broken darkness in this day and hour. soul of fire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to you. Help me not to suffer. Never let me fail. Fill me with thy spirit. Let thy will be heard. Let free. Set my soul afire, Lord, in my daily life. All too long I've wandered in this day of trial. Nothing else will matter but to live for thee. I will be the witness of Christ. Fill in me. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Million children darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. See, the idea of passion, the idea of being set on fire is not a new idea. This, the guy that wrote this song lived from the early 1910s, I think 1928, I believe. So the words are written sometime during his lifetime. But folks, there's words about being set on fire. There's words about being empowered by the God's Holy Spirit to go way beyond even the Baptist hymn. I'm speaking of the Word of God himself. And in his words, he tells us, I want to fire you up. I want you to be lit. I want you to be fired up and lit on fire for my purpose. God doesn't say, I'm going to fire you up. I'm going to empower you to do whatever you want, however you want to do it, and just whenever you feel like it. He says, no, I'm going to empower you. I'm going to fire you up. I'm going to set you on fire for my purposes. My first purpose is to purify you, to burn the extra, to draw us out, to purify God. I'm going to protect you with my power. I'm going to empower you with my power. That's what power is about. The empowerment. And how you can get this and see God. It's past time for us to be fired up, I believe. The truth is, it's not a fire we can fight. The Holy Spirit will light you up, and He will set you on fire if you're willing to be used. He will instill a passion in you, and that passion will fuel the fire. Jesus called today, Father. God is not destroyed by fire. You are not destroyed by fire. Gold is not destroyed by fire. Fire is a pure fire. It makes more pure by the fire. The impurities are burned out. What remains is pure. A pure gold, a pure blue, a pure gold. The Holy Spirit. He desires to refine and to purify us, just as the refiner purifies gold. The same that purification process will not happen in life. We have to find if the gold hurts when it burns, when it gets molten, the gold doesn't even have to purify. Well, not if it's got gold, but I don't think gold would have to finish that up. There's sometimes a fire of purification on you and me that sometimes that hurts. Your eyebrows get singed by God's holy fire sometimes. Yeah. Do your feet get tender? Feel like you've been walking. I was born and raised up poor stock, and we would draw people where out there in the rock and the pavement. And the pavement would get so hot that the tar would begin to melt and boil up. Did it stop me from running out on it? And my feet would get blistered sometimes. But they would be stained by the black tar. But it didn't stop me, it didn't kill me. It was uncomfortable. The flame was more important. And so I would endure the fire. I would endure the intense heat on my feet to go and pray where I wanted to pray. We have to be willing to endure some intense heat sometimes and have maturity not get away. It cannot happen without the fire. If you've been saved, if you have truly given your heart to Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit has come to live in you. And if the Holy Spirit has come to live in you, you cannot stay the same. Because His fire begins to remove impurity. Now, if you say, yes, I'm a child of God. I receive Jesus Christ
and there is no change within you, then I would challenge that by saying, then you don't have the fire that is causing your purity to be burned off. If you don't have the Holy Spirit that's the fire, how can you be changed? Come on, the Holy Spirit is the fire that purifies. It destroys the impurity. If that's not happening to you, you need to seriously ask yourself whether or not the purity is going to change. I don't want to hear anybody. I don't want to tell anybody to come back about your salvation. I don't want that. I want the opposite. I want you to be absolutely positively sure of your salvation. But in order to be absolutely positively sure, sometimes you have to ask. I don't earn my salvation by doing good things. I don't earn my salvation by tithing regularly, by attending church regularly. I don't earn my salvation by not cussing. I don't earn my salvation by being faithful to my wife. I don't earn my salvation by doing good things, by giving money to the poor, or doing these things. We don't earn our salvation. Salvation is a free gift of God. Free to us, but it costs God something. To play with fire. I mean, how many of you grew up with your mom and dad said you don't play with fire? Let me tell you something. You don't play with God's fire. You don't play with God's fire. Playing with God's fire is, woohoo, I'm a Christian. I got debt. I get the preacher's hand. I fill out the paperwork. I'm a member of the church. I'm a deacon. My dad was a preacher, whatever. And so, I've got that stuff secured, but it's not going to really greatly impact my life. It's not going to affect my decision-making process. It's not going to change who I am. You see, that's pain and fire. You're calling something that's not. You're calling, if you're a Christian, that you are on fire for God, and you're not. And it's because you've been deceived by the devil, basically. And he told you, well, just say these words, and then I'll just keep you long enough, and then it'll be too late, and then, God gets me. God is a consuming fire. He's a protecting fire. He's a purifying fire. If you're a Christian, if you're not on fire, I've got to ask you, why not? If there's a fire in there, somewhere. If you're a Christian, there's a fire in there. It's time to unleash it and turn it loose. Not because God doesn't want to do anything with or through or through you. The problem just may be you. It doesn't have to stay that way. It doesn't have to stay that way. You see, I've talked about these songs. You know, there's a great song up there that talks about the fire. You've heard about the hymn that talks about the fire. How about a children's song that talks about fire? It's the light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. It's the light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You can hide it under the bridge and all that stuff. But here's the deal. I have a great problem with that song. Not a little light. Let me just rewrite it. This great big blazing horse fire means. It doesn't really rhyme that good, but that's more accurate about the life that God wants us to live. This little light of mine, if you've got a little light, then you're wrong. Some people are happy and content. We got these candles, and I've got these candles in my office. They're real pretty. My mother used to make these candles, or had these candles, rather, and one of them got 50 feet, and we would put it out year after year after year after year, and it wouldn't burn it, because it's decoration. Sometimes we have these candles, these big old candles, and we have this decorative vase of plastic with a big deal. I've got one in my office. And sometimes people will go out way out on a limb and they'll light that candle and they'll put it up on their mantle. They'll do the tree decorative piece and it's really plain. Some people are content for their life to do this tree decorative candle that's got a flame and it's burning. I don't want to be a decorative candle. I want to be a wildfire. I want to be a consuming wildfire. I want to be untamed. I want to be able to burn wherever God wants to burn and to use me to burn that. I don't want to be a desolation. I don't want to be a thing that sits on the shelf. The fire of the Holy Spirit is not one to be contained. It is a wild fire, burning wherever, whenever, and whatever you want. What kind of fire do you have? What kind of fire do you have? And better yet, what kind of fire do you have? There may be someone here today that doesn't understand fire. There may be someone here today that doesn't understand the whole idea of salvation. Let me explain to you. It's not this great mystery. It's not this great thing that we just can't comprehend. And it's not something that we can say, well, I'll just do the best I can and hope one day I've done enough good to God will put me into heaven. You don't have to have a mystery about it. Here's the deal. God said, be holy as I am holy. The truth of the matter is, we are not. And we fall and we fail, and that's called sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, meaning eternal separation. You don't talk about God's fire. God has created a lake for the people that do not see Christ and live in the community. And that's the punishment. That's the wages of sin. But God said this. God, my God has said this. He said, but the gift of God is you can't make it to me on your own. I'm going to have to reach down and get you. The problem is, I've already said there has to be punishment. There has to be a death. Tell you what, God said, let me pay that price for you. Let me send my son to live that life that you can't live, to live a sinless and perfect life, and allow him to be crucified, allow him to be sacrificed as the pure offering for your sin. The substitute sacrifice, God said. When he did that, Jesus came 33 years on the earth to live sinless life. He gave his body work and miracles because he's actually God. Right? But then they crucified him, they killed him. Not because he did anything wrong, but because he claimed to be God. They thought it was blasphemy. They crucified him, they killed him. 3 days later, 3 days later, if God had another ear, I'm not staying in the grave any longer. It's time for me to let my life shine. He opened up the stone, rolled it away, and he come out. And I just had this vision of him stepping out. This is fire. This is fire for you. And he stepped out. And weeks later, he arose from him. You see, that's God's plan of salvation. God said, you can't make it on your own. You can try all you want, but you'll be greatly disappointed in you. I have made a way for you. And what it involves is this. Trusting my goodness and my grace to you, trusting that Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. Receive that gift. I will give you eternal salvation. See, that's what makes people die. Woohoo! I got the greatest gift in the world. And one day I'm going to cash it in. That gift has been given to you to open up immediately and begin living the eternal life even now. And what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, that certainly doesn't mean involving the same things that we were involved in before we met. Not to earn salvation, but because of salvation, my life is now different. Because there's a fire within me, one that I can't control, one that I can't contain, and it's burning off by impurity. And I like the sound of his fear. See, that's somebody that's what kind of fire do you have? And what kind of fire do you want? Are you content with being a candle on a mantle? Or you want to be one of these California wildfires that's going and consuming and uncontrollable? That's what I want. That's what I want. Why do I want that? Because I believe that's what God wants. That's why he sent his spirit. That's why we are baptized with the spirit. Where are you? tempted to say, man, I really like that. I want to get fired up. I like that, but wait a minute. What will that person think of me? I think I'll just tone it down a little bit. I think I'll just back off a little bit. See, that's thinking fine. That's us taking control. Fine. The Holy Spirit is fine. It's not designed for you to be in control of God. It's in control of the God is the Creator of God. It's in control of the wind, the waves, even the fire. It's in control of fire in your life. Where are you in that? Are you allowing God to control your fire? Burning whatever looks good and whatever may. See, a lot of times we like to see. We say, I like the fire, but I just don't want to get hot enough to burn me. I don't want to get hot enough. I know that I need the fire to cut through myself, but if that happens, then I'll be exposed. My tenderness will be exposed to the elements. And then I'll start to grow, and then you know what? If I'm going too slow, I'm not going fast enough, then something might come and eat me. Beetle might come to me down, whatever. Okay? You know, all these fears. God says, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but power and love. See, my God has got all the answers and all the solutions. I'm trusting him. I'm trying to leave. Father, let me be down. Lord, may we never be guilty in this church of failing to call out for the fire to fall, the fire of protection, the fire of purification, the fire that destroys the impurities within us, the fire that empowers and energizes us. Father, we need the fire. If we're going to do anything in this world that is according to your will, we have to have your power. Your power comes from the fullness. But thank you for your word. And Father, how we can go back thousands and thousands of years and you're still talking about the same fire. How you want to unleash that in our lives today. Father, may we be consumed by you. Lord, says you are a consuming fire, may we be willing to be consumed. Nothing in you that you're not going to destroy us, but that you're going to purify us. You're going to build us up. You're going to empower us. You're going to encourage us. Why? Oh, to accomplish your greater purpose. Father, burn within us. Burn within us. Set a fire in our bones that we can't contain, that we can't shut up any longer. We have to let it out. I love that verse in Jeremiah. It's like a fire in my bones that I'm grown weary of trying to keep it in. Matter of fact, I can no longer keep it in. Father, may that be our story.